Good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Hallelujah. God is so good. We're so thankful to Him for His faithfulness, His loving kindness, His mercies to us. It's such a privilege to be able to come together tonight again around the Word of God with the saints. I thank you wherever you're joining us from in this country or around the world, whatever platform you're joining us on. It's exciting to be able to get into the Word of God and to study the Word just regularly on an ongoing basis. And the Holy Spirit, our great teacher, is ever ready to fill us, to feed us. Hallelujah. Fill us with illumination, feed us with substance from the Word. And I'm very thankful again tonight for the privilege that we all have. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's just share a word of prayer together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for this blessed opportunity and privilege that you have given to us to come together around the Word of God with the saints. Father, we thank you for the blessing of this season. Thank you for the gift of life. We never take it for granted. Oh Lord, where would we be? What would our lives look like without your precious presence? We thank you, God. We thank you so much. Thank you for your word of life that continually just elevates us and raises us up and to help us possess our inheritance with the saints, with those that are sanctified of God. So, Lord, grant us great grace tonight. Think through my mind. Speak through my vocal cords. Help me. Grant us understanding hearts. I pray for all of my brothers and sisters tonight, everyone that's joining us in real time, those that will join us later on, or those that are joining us on our podcasts. Father, bless them. Grant them the same grace that is available to us here tonight in their own personal individual studies. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you so much again for joining us. Let's get back into it. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. Renovate your mind, elevate your life. We've been going at this now for well over 5 months. Glory to God. And it just keeps getting bigger, keeps getting bigger. Let's go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah chapter 55. This is our first theme scripture from verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not there, but watereth the earth, maketh it bring forth and board, so that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. Hallelujah. My goodness. Thank you, Lord. When we take on the thoughts of God, and we begin to think like Him, and we renovate our minds to be in line with the mind of God, some powerful things happen in our lives, my friends. We've learned this for several weeks now. The Lord elevates us. Amen. Our ways become the highways of God. Amen. Heaven is open upon our lives. Favor reigns upon us. Doors are open to us. We prosper. The word of God prospers in our lives. Amen. But we have a job to do. We must renovate our minds. We must commit to renovating our minds with the word of God. Notice God is not going to do that for us. Hallelujah. We, each of us individually, no one can do that for us. Praise God. People can teach us the word. People can help us. They can guide us. They can help us find illumination through the word of God and get understanding. But at the end of the day, a commitment needs to be made to renovate our minds, to renew our minds with the Word of God. That commitment must be made by each and every one of us individually. You remember our second theme scripture in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove or experience what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why do we need to renovate our minds? Because our minds, when we gave our lives to Christ, our spirit was born anew, but our minds remain the same. Our minds are like that uncultivated ground. For the last few weeks, we have been learning together the steps that we must take to get into this mind renewal or mind renovation. There are two ways in which the Lord helps us do this. When we commit and when we get into the process and follow the Word of God and instructions in the instructions in the Word of God that show us how to renovate our minds, the Lord helps us along that process, along on that process, by number one, the washing of regeneration by the water of the Word of God, and number two, by the active transformation work that the Holy Spirit does in our lives. Amen. Just like when we gave our lives to Christ, we were born again, our spirits were transformed overnight, we were renewed in our spirit, our minds remain the same. Our minds need to be saved. We've gone through that several times. And we've already learned, the very first step to renovating the mind is to brainwash our minds with the truth of the Word of God. Every renovation of the mind begins with the revelation of the Word of truth. The revelation of divine truth. There's no way around that. Jesus said in John chapter 18, you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free, will make you free. In every area of life, when we contact the truth of the Word of God, freedom comes. When our minds lay hold on the truth of the Word of God, liberation comes. Glory to God. And that's the very first step. Bible says we should guard up the loins of our minds with the truth of the Word of God. That truth is a defender. That truth establishes a mind. But a couple of weeks ago, we started talking about the second step. The second step to renovating the mind is, we described it this way, to reformat and reprogram your mind with the Word of God. To feed your mind continually with the Word and to start actively challenging the junk from the world that you grew up on. Amen. That mind is oftentimes like the uncultivated ground. We've talked a bit about this as well. So the Bible tells us in Jeremiah chapter 4, we ran out of time last week. I think usually, almost every week, we almost run out of time. But last week was really bad. We really, really ran out of time trying to highlight the different predispositions that the mind has as the scriptures describe them to us in the New Testament. The different ways in which the mind can exhibit the state of being unrenewed or unrenovated. When the mind is not thoroughly renovated, some of the ways in which the mind expresses itself and some of the ways in which the scriptures describe those unrenovated minds. So we started going through that list last week, and we were very excited trying to do a Bible study of that. And I hope you were able to look at some of those scriptures. If you did not, please do study these words by yourself. Again, remember, this is a commitment we must make individually, and we follow through with that commitment, follow through on that commitment by what we do outside of our Bible study services, outside of our Bible study sessions. It can be that the very next time you and I are studying the Word, or some of the things that we talk about in our sessions, is the next service. No, between services, we should take the teachings if you need to go back and listen to it again, if you took notes and there were some scriptures and things, you need to look at those scriptures and study them and meditate them and give yourself the ultimate advantage in this renovation, mind renovation process. The mind is like a ground that needs to be cultivated. And the tendencies, all of those tendencies, the different things we started talking about regarding the unrenewed, unrenovated mind, the way the Bible describes them in the New Testament, those tendencies are always there, right? They're always there. And the only way to advance every day in the process of renovating our minds is to reformat and reprogram your mind with the Word of God, to feed it continually with the Word, and to actively every day challenge the junk, whatever junk might still be in there, or things come up and our minds begin to respond in one way that we know is not really according to the Word of God. That's not what we know is how God wants us to respond to that. But that might be what's embedded in our minds, in our subconscious. That may be what is coming out naturally, because those are things that have been programmed there for so many years. Then what do we need to do? We need to go in there and say, this, you shouldn't be in here. Like the thorns. Bible says we should not sow our seeds among the thorns, right? We read that powerful scripture in Jeremiah chapter 4 last week. Jeremiah chapter 4, that's telling us to break up our fallow ground. Same thing in Hosea. Hosea chapter 10 verse 12. But first in Jeremiah chapter 4 in verse 3, he says, "For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and the women of Jerusalem," men and women of Judah and Jerusalem, "break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. So we've got to break up the fallow ground. We've got that uncultivated ground, that hardened soil. We've got to break it up with the Word of God. And then we've got to uproot thorns. We've got to uproot things that are there. Thoughts, ways of thinking, ways of approaching the issues of life that have been there, occupying the grounds of our minds that can be limiters to the Word of God in taking its place in our lives. It says, "Break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns." Verse 4, "Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and take away the foreskins of your heart, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire." Break up your fallow grounds. Don't sow among thorns. Circumcise your heart or yourselves, and take away the foreskins of your heart, or your mind. Those things that create a callousness on the mind. Those things that have been pumped into our mind, into our thinking, year after year after year after year, that have almost formed the basis of the way we look at things. We've got to go in there and excise those things. And we have to do it practically on a daily basis. Amen. Remember what we said last week. Right? Just like a child, your mind will grow on whatever you feed it. Garbage in, garbage out. Substance in, substance out. Like a sponge, when soaked in anything or squeezed, your mind will produce whatever it has been soaked in. So soak your mind in God's word. So when it is squeezed, that is what oozes out of it. Like a computer, there are several kinds of information that are programmed and stored in our subconscious mind that we sometimes are not even aware of, right? And from time to time, these different programmed batches of programmed information, they rise up and move us to say things, sometimes move us to do things that surprise even us. It is up to you and me to take control of our minds and to condition them positively and spiritually by reprogramming them with the Word, so they can deliver to our lives everything we desire and everything God designed for us. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Break up the fallow grounds of your mind. It says the same thing in the book of Hosea. I really want us to complete this particular step tonight. I trust God that the Holy Spirit is helping us And I will get through that, and I'm going to try to complete this particular step tonight. And trust God that in our next service, we can move on to the next step. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says, "Sow for yourselves according to righteousness. Reap according to mercy and loving kindness. Break up your uncultivated ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. It is time to seek the Lord, to inquire for and of him, and to require his favor until he comes and teaches you righteousness and rains his righteous gift of salvation upon you." Look at that. Break up your uncultivated ground. It's the heart, it's the mind. And in the parable of the sower, in Mark chapter 4, we read that too last week. You remember, when the sower begins to sow the seeds, and begins to sow the seed which represents the word of God, there are different things that happen to that seed based on the condition of the heart and the condition of the mind. And this was what led us to look at some of the different expressions of an unrenovated mind that we did last week. I'm gonna quickly run through that again. But tonight, just focus a little bit more in the short time that I have on the power of the Word of God, right? And what we do with that Word, what we must do regularly, daily, consistently with that Word. Look there in Mark chapter 4. We read this again last week. He says, "Hearken from verse 3, behold, there went out a sower to sow. It came to pass as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth, and immediately sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away," produced nothing. So that mind, that life produced nothing. Why? Because of the hardness, the stoniness of the mind and the heart. He says, and some, verse 7, "and some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruits." That's why the Bible says, don't sow your seed among thorns. You've got to deliberately, intentionally, weed out undesirable things, undesirable thoughts, undesirable ways of thinking, and undesirable ways of looking at things that are seated in our minds and even in our subconscious mind. When they come up, we find ourselves reacting one way. We should pull ourselves back, almost like you're pulling a horse back. Pull ourselves back and say, no, we're not doing that. That is not the prescription of the Word of God. So that is not what we're doing, right? If you are someone that is just, you know, usually just angry, you have outbursts of anger, and you find it difficult to control yourself, and if you are in a situation, that tendency begins to come, you pull yourself back, pull your mind back, say, no, we're not doing that. We're rooting out uncontrolled anger. We're rooting out that way of thinking and that way of approaching the things of life, or whatever else, other things and other situations of life, and tendencies that we have to think like the world, to analyze. There's so much going on, especially in the United States, where politics is concerned, where different things are concerned. There's definitely nothing wrong with being involved in the discourse, but we should do it from the standpoint of people, believers who have renewed and renovated minds. Amen. And when you begin to find yourself saying things that are not in agreement with how the Lord wants you to talk as a child of God, you pull your mind back. Come. No, we're not saying that. We're not thinking like that. Some of those thoughts are still there. They're buried in our subconscious. They're not yet coming out, but we've got to address them. We've got to pull out those weeds and say, no, you can't remain here. You can't remain here. And those expressions, again, you see in some of the different descriptions that the Bible, the New Testament gives to an unrenovated mind, a lot of which we read last week. Look at it. It says, but when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away, verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit, verse 8. And others fell on good ground and did yield good fruit. They fell on good ground, renovated minds. When the seed of the word of God falls on renovated minds, when the promises of the word of God falls on renovated minds, when the covenant designs of God are introduced and presented to a renovated mind, those minds are good grounds, right? The Bible says they fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. Brought forth. I like that. It brought forth. It produced. It prospered. That's the secret to living an elevated life. It produced. It prospered. Why? Because the mind was renovated. Glory to God. The mind was renovated. Look at this. We started looking at this last week. We looked at some of these minds. The Bible, the New Testament describes some minds. We looked at some of these scriptures. I'm not going there. I'm not going back to read them again tonight. I want to quickly finish that. Talks about minds that are blinded in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Minds can be blinded to the truth of the word of God when the light doesn't shine in. And a blinded mind is likely to send wrong information to the individual. A blinded mind is likely to process things wrongly. And Jesus said, if a blind leads the blind, both of them are going to fall into the pit. When a mind is blinded, they lack direction. They lack clarity. They lack clarity. Blinded minds. 2 Corinthians 3:14. Reprobate minds. Is reject. The word reprobate means reject, rejected. It's a mind that rejects the word of God. Even when you present the word of God to it, you'll say no, but you know, whether in anger or in the emotion of the moment, they don't want to hear it. Or pride. You know, sometimes if you are confronted by someone with the word of God, and you can tell in your mind, you can see it clearly, that the position you are taking is wrong. Well, a proud or high, the Bible describes a high-minded person, instead of accepting that and taking that correction and changing course, because of that pride, they'll say, yeah, I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. And I don't even want to hear that. Right? Those are tendencies of a reprobate mind, a mind that rejects the word of God. And God said, because you reject the word of God, I've rejected you. Amen. The tendency to have a reprobate mind is always there. Carnal minds in Romans chapter 8, verse 6. The reprobate mind is Romans 1:28. Carnal minds. Minds that are directed by the flesh. Minds that are led by the flesh. Everything is at the level of the natural. A carnal mind. A mind that seeks to please the flesh. A mind that lives for the flesh. Carnal minds. Unbelieving high minds. Romans 11:20. Unbelieving high minds. This is an element of pride in the mind. I talked about that earlier. That would just not succumb, would not submit. An element of pride. Unbelieving high minds. Romans 11:20. Deceived, corrupted, and seduced minds. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. The Bible was talking about Eve. Eve was deceived. She was seduced in her mind, right? Because we have studied this a little bit, because she had not established in her mind the truth of the word of God, right? She was seduced. She was deceived. A mind that is easily deceived, that's seduced and corrupted, is not renovated. 2 Corinthians 11:3. And then in Ephesians 4:17, we read about the futility of the mind, vain, empty minds. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, I should read that. Let's read a few of these ones real quick. Glory to God. futility of the mind. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17. Look at what it says. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity or futility of their minds. The Amplified Version uses the word in the foolishness, the vanity, the emptiness, and futility of their minds. What is he talking about? That everything, and remember, he's comparing people with an empty mind, people with futile minds. He's comparing them to Gentiles who are not renewed by the word of God. See where he says in verse 18, is carrying on with his thought, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart or the blindness of their mind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So a futile mind, an empty mind, is one that lacks substance of revelation. It lacks substance of revelation. It lacks the wisdom of God. It lacks understanding. It says the understanding is darkened. You look at someone who has their understanding darkened, and you just feel sorry. It's almost like there's nothing you say to them that strikes a chord. Like, you expect they should get this. You expect that you don't even have to talk about this. There's a certain expectation that you have that, based on their experience in the faith, based on how long they have been walking with the Lord, or based on how long they have been taught the word, or how long they have been serving, or how long or how much has been committed to them, this should not even be something we are talking about. But when you talk to them about it, they seem lost. Like, what are you talking about? I don't get it. They don't get it. And you can waste your time and try to explain it as much as you want, but they are still not going to get it, because the mind is futile in that area. They have chosen to lack understanding. They have chosen to not open their mind so that the light of the word of God can shine on their lives and on their minds in those areas. It is called empty minds, futile minds. And then the earthly minds, it's just earthly. It's so down, it's so corrupted, it's so worldly. Philippians 3:19, earthly minds, Philippians 3:19, is so worldly, is so unrenewed. Philippians 3:19. He said, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and I now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. Who mind earthly things. The Amplified says, siding with earthly things and being of their party. Siding with earthly things and being of their party. As this, although it's talking about ungodly people here, but a lot of times when a believer's mind is unrenewed and is unrenovated, they can manifest earthly minds. Like, they just think like the world. They just think like the people in the world think. Like we said this before, if you look at how they think and you bring somebody who's never heard the gospel preached, they've never read the Bible, and you hear both of them talk, they sound exactly the same. He calls them earthly minds. And then alienated minds, minds that are alienated from the will of God. That's Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 21. He says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled. You used to be alienated in your minds. What does it mean to be alienated? You were separated from God, God's way of reasoning, God's way of thinking, God's way of doing things. You were alienated. It's almost like you are an alien. God's ways were foreign to you, where God's ways should no longer be foreign to you. As a child of God, whose mind is being renovated actively with the word of God, God's ways should not be foreign to you. You shouldn't hear something that is directly from the word of God and go, I don't think I can buy into that. No, you should. That's an alienated mind. It's God's mind. God's ways are foreign. When a mind is unrenovated, the mind is alienated from the ways of God. Feeble minds. Feeble minds. The Bible says to comfort the feeble minds. Yeah, there's comfort and encouragement for the feeble mind. But God doesn't want us to be feeble in our minds. God wants us to be strong. He wants us to gird up the loins of our minds with the truth of the word of God, right? But sometimes our minds can be feeble. They can be weak. Our minds can be weary. Sometimes we're so beaten by circumstances and situations in life, and we're almost like that tired person walking through the desert, just dying to get a drop of water. Like, we are so isolated from the word of God, from the revelation and the presence of God, that our minds have become so weakened. Remember earlier on in a series of studies, from the book of Peter, I think it was first or second Peter, when the Bible talked to us about Lot, whose mind was vexed, whose soul was vexed, and it needed to be saved. It was vexed by all the things in its environment. His mind was so vexed, was so wearied, was so oppressed, was so tired from all the things. Now, that's not because he didn't have a choice. That's because he chose to allow the things around him saturate his, you know, when we talk about flooding the zone, is one of the things we've talked about, flooding the zone of the mind. It's actually the step that we're discussing right now, flooding the zone of the mind with the word of God, right? Where how much the proportion of the word, the measure of the word that we receive, that we have, that we are surrounded by, will ultimately determine the stability and the strength of our minds and our souls. Right? If we have very little of it, then our strength will be very little. Right? We'll have very little resistance to all of the attack and all of the oppressive forces and all the fiery darts of the evil one that are coming at us. But if we are just in the word, most of the time, just growing in the word, surrounded by the word, in one way or the other, whatever, we're hearing it, we're studying it, we're meditating it, we're reading it, reciting it to ourselves, or whatever, whatever shape or form we take the word in, we're just surrounded with that word, we're strengthened, our minds are strengthened, and we won't be feeble. Our minds will not be weakened. Look at that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Feeble minds. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Let's read this in the Amplified. We earnestly beseech you, brethren, admonish, warn, and seriously advise those who are out of line, the loafers, the disorderly, the unruly, encourage the timid and the faint-hearted, and help and give your support to the weak souls, and be very patient with everybody, always keeping your temper. Yeah. So there would always be weak souls, even in the body of Christ, even in the church. And that's not God's best. That's not God's best. And that's why he's telling those who are strong to be there to strengthen the weak souls, to their feeble-mindedness. The feeble-mindedness is not God's will. It's like when the Bible talks about being double-minded. Being double-minded is not God's will. Even though the Word of God tells us a lot of believers are double-minded. But being double-minded is not the will of God. And the way we get out of being feeble-minded is to be renovated in our minds. Talked about shaken and troubled minds, to not allow minds to be shaken and troubled. And how do we do that? By being strong in the Word of God. Look at that. Look at that in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. Glory to God. I hope you are looking at these scriptures. I hope you are not just listening. I hope you are looking at these scriptures, whether in your Bible, on your phone, or you are taking notes and planning to go and look at these scriptures later on, to study them for yourself and to get the context of what the Holy Spirit is helping us learn tonight. Amen. Look at it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. Glory to God. That you be not so soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Don't be troubled. Let's read that in the Amplified. Not to allow your minds to be quickly unsettled or disturbed or kept excited or alarmed, whether it be by some pretended revelation of the Spirit or by word or by letter alleged to be from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has already arrived and is here. Don't let your mind, Jesus said in John chapter 14, don't let your mind be troubled. Don't let your heart be troubled. Amen. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How does that happen? By continually flooding the zone of our minds with the Word of God. By renovating our minds with the Word of God. Look at it. Defiled minds. Talked about some defiled minds. It's mostly in the world. But sometimes there are certain aspects of a believer's life where if it's unrenovated and we are allowing ourselves to be influenced by the world, the mind can be defiled. Look at it in Titus chapter 1 verse 15. Titus chapter 1 verse 15, it says, let's read it from verse 14, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth, from the truth, verse 15, unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. When the negative influences over our lives are overwhelming compared to the positive, powerful, spiritual influence from the Word of God, our minds and consciences can become defiled as a defiled mind. And then faint minds, we've read a little bit of that, tired, weary, faint minds, very close to being feeble-minded, but even a little bit more. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 3. Look at the word, what the Bible says here. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 3. Don't allow yourself. Let's read it from verse 2. Hebrews 12 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. When attacks, when trouble, difficulties of life, adversity, difficult situations, things not working well, things not going right, when so many things that are not favorable come against us and come at us from the world around us, don't allow yourself to become wearied and faint in your mind. Well, the only way you'll be able to stop that from happening will be that you are flooding the zone of your mind with the Word of God. You remember what the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 16 verse 3. Let's just look at that real quick. I'm going to say something about this, because I know from time to time, just a lot of believers go through difficult situations, which sometimes get so overwhelming to the point where they become weary, tired, and faint in their minds. They almost feel like, I just can't take it anymore. I can't. They lose their confidence. They lose their assurance in God. But the Lord Jesus Christ told us, don't let that happen to you. He said, in the world you have tribulation, but remember, I have already taken the power of those of that tribulation, that those difficulties away from them, and I have given you the victory. And he says, that victory comes from the things that I say to you. So my word, look at it in John chapter 16, verse 33, in the Amplified, I have told you these things. That's his word. I have told you these things, right? So how do you keep your strength, the strength of God in your mind, is by focusing on what he told us, focusing on the words he spoke to us, focusing on what he delivered to us, how he prepared us, the things he sent us, and what he continues to send us and speak to us by the Holy Spirit. Look at it. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect shalom or peace and confidence. In the world you have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but be of good cheer. How can you be of good cheer when you have tribulation and trouble and distress in the world? He says, take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted. Why? For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Look at that. I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of power to harm you, and I've conquered it for you. Those are his words. When those words flood the zone of your mind, then there'll be no weariness in your mind. There'll be no tiredness. As much as the enemy keeps throwing things at you, you keep standing because you know, no matter what, Jesus has conquered the world. Remember what the Bible says in Isaiah 59. When the enemy comes against you like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I believe it's Isaiah 59:19. Glory to God. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. That's your support. That's your confidence. That's your assurance. When the enemy shall come against you, come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. Will raise up a standard against him. Jesus said, Don't allow yourself to become overwhelmed. I have conquered the world. I've deprived it of power to overwhelm you, to stop you, to deprive you. So be strong in my promise. Be strong in my word. Be strong in the assurance that I'm giving to you. How do we do that? By flooding the zone of our minds with the word. Not when tribulation comes. Because most of the time, when difficulties come, we usually don't even feel at that time like being in the word. Sometimes we're so overwhelmed by what we're dealing with, we're just desperate for a way out. But long before the assault comes, sometimes people don't recognize how powerful it is, the significance of being in the word like this every day, every week, every month. Sometimes people wait until things are not going so well. Then they start crying. They are looking for a miracle. They are looking for a solution. Not long before you are dealing with any attack, to stay strong in the word. Somebody asked you, why are you so fervent in the word? It's so word, why? Well, because the word is my defense. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you, I've told you. It's his word. It's his word that gives us shalom. It's his word that establishes us. It's his word that gives us the victory. Bible says this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Well, Our faith is built on the word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So no fainting in our minds. No fainting in our minds. And of course, and one last one, let's look at the double mind. Double mind. James 1:8 and James 4:8. We are all familiar with these scriptures. So let's read them. James 1:8 and James 4:8. James 1:8. Hallelujah. A double-minded man. Let's start from verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. Verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Well, why would somebody be double-minded? Because they are not standing, they are not established in the word of God. You see what it says there? Don't let that person think that they'll receive anything from the Lord, right? A double-minded person is unstable in their ways. And then in James chapter 4 and verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. To be double-minded is to be vacillating, right? Is to be vacillating between opinions. The word double means there are two conflicting ways, two conflicting forces in that person's mind, and they are not resolved. They are not settled on either one. They believe God today, tomorrow they are not so sure. They are going to claim God's promise today, tomorrow they are tired. Feeble mind. As a double mind. Or in seeking to move forward and advance and walk in God's will, today they are resolved, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm going to do the will of God. Tomorrow, when other forces begin to pull them in different directions, I'm not so sure. Tomorrow, I'm going to do the will of God. I'm committed to the will of God. When things are not going the way they expect, then their song changes. That's a double mind. And the Bible says a double-minded person will never receive anything from God. What is the cure to being double-minded? It's to renovate the mind with the word of God. To flood the zone of the mind with the word of God. Let's go back there. To flood the zone of the mind continually with God's word. Flood the zone of the mind continually with the word of God. The word of God is so powerful. Remember, we talked about that. That's one of the things we were talking about last week before we closed up. The word of God is incorruptible. The word of God is unstoppable. The word of God is invincible. The word of God is full of integrity. Amen. The word of God is incorruptible. You know that? We read these scriptures last week. Glory to God. The word of God is incorruptible. I can't read it all. I want to read Hebrews chapter 12 tonight as I close out. Hebrews chapter 12, and I want to read Joshua 1, 8, and Psalms, the first Psalm, and the first three verses, and close out tonight. Amen. Glory to God. What is this step we're discussing tonight? This step of renovating our minds. To flood the zone of our minds with the word of God continually. Continually, non-stop. Non-stop. And to watch out for all those different expressions of the unrenovated mind that the Bible told us about. We've looked at a lot of them tonight. Right? And when we see any indicator in our mind that we're leaning in those directions, to weed them out. To say, no. Pull back the mind and say, no, we're not doing that. We are not going to be feeble. we're not going to lack understanding. We will not be double-minded. We will not be alienated from the will of God. We will not be high-minded. We will not be proud. To pull our minds. No, we will not be carnal. We will not be carnal. We are not going to follow the flesh. We are not going to follow the inclinations of the flesh. We won't be worldly. We won't be earthly. Hallelujah. We will not be defiled. We will not allow ungodly influences to defile our minds. Glory to God. Hallelujah. The power of the word. Word of God is so powerful. It's incorruptible. Isaiah 55. So shall my word be. Goes forth out of my mouth. It shall accomplish that which I please. And it shall prosper in the thing whereto I send it. It's incorruptible. You can't stop it. The Bible says the light shines in darkness. Talking about his word. John chapter 1 verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness. And the darkness cannot comprehend it. Cannot stop it. It's invincible. It means you can't overcome it. There is no stubbornness of the mind. There is no stoniness of the mind that can overwhelm or stop or overcome the power of the word of God. It's full of integrity. The word of God is. Let's read in Hebrews chapter 12. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So we get ready to close tonight. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We bless and we magnify your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 9. Oh, I love it. If you read from verse 1, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of us should come short of it. It's a rest for the people of God. There's a rest for the people of God. In verse 6, Hebrews chapter 4 from in verse 6, sorry, verse 9. There remains, therefore, a rest to the people of God. For he that is entered into his rest, he also assists from his own works as God did from his. Let us labor. This is where our labor is. This is where our hard work is. Our hard work is in saturating our minds with the word of God. Our labor, our hard work, our commitment must be in flooding our minds with the word of God. Let us labor, it says, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Verse 12, for the word of God is quick, is powerful, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Glory to God. It's so powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the mind and the spirit. The word of God has surgical precision. Can separate the chaff from the wheat, can bring clarity, can establish our thoughts and our thinking to be in line with the word of God. So our labor must be in the word. Our labor must be in the word. That's how we are renovated. Hallelujah. He said, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom I have to do. Our labor must be in the word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Our labor, this book of the law, This book of the law, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you will meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of a good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Our labor is in the word. Our labor is in the word. Meditate in the word. What does it mean to meditate? To study it, to hear it, to feed on it, and then to turn it, look at it over and over, think about it, check different translations, think about it, feed on it, hear it again, look at it again, feed on it until it settles. To meditate the word, to think about it, to turn it in your mind, to regurgitate on the word, to regurgitate, take it down, bring it back up, take it down, bring it back. Ah, you think, but that the word. And the way the word of God said that, And then when he said, then you'll be strong, you'll be courageous. You can't be feeble mind. When you meditate the word day and night, can't be there. Where is the feeble mind going to come from? There can't be double mind. Where will it come? There can't be fear. For God has not given to us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Where is the fear going to come from? When you are meditating the word day and night, your labor is in the word. You are feeding your mind continually with the word. You are flooding the zone of your mind continually with the word of God. Uprooting junk, uprooting thorns, uprooting weeds, getting rid of things that are not in line with the word of God. Your labor is in the word. Glory to God. Let's close here. First Psalm. Thank you, Holy Spirit. First Psalm. Hallelujah. Blessed is the man, woman, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, her delight, is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. He will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. He shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Look at the ungodly. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. You are not the ungodly. You will not have the portion of the ungodly. You will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. You bear your fruit in season. Your leaves will not wither. Whatsoever you do will prosper. You'll be established in God. A renovated mind, elevated life. Father, we thank you so much for your mighty word. We give you praise for the illumination of the Holy Spirit tonight. Thank you for these words that continue to reverberate in our spirit the rest of this week. We give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Glory to God. Look at that. We're almost out of time. We're just about there again tonight. But praise God. Praise God. What a time. What a time in the word. Hallelujah. I'm so excited. We look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.